So the I would either make the Board of Adjustment separate when you form that, or just not address the removal at all. The removal is going to have to follow state law procedures. I wouldn't even repeat the state law procedures in case, you know, fingers crossed, they ever change, so you don't get stuck with them because the state law changed, but you repeated it in your city ordinance. Same thing for Brenda mentioned the small cell lawsuits. We recommended a lot of that when that was getting passed. Don't just repeat state law in your city ordinances. Sometimes it changes, and sometimes the bad parts go away, but because you repeated it, you're stuck with it. So the state law requires that the governing body has to have a procedure for appointment, board members just removed for cause, and there has to be a public hearing, and that the appointing authority is the one who removes them. So, and that if there's a vacancy or if someone's removed or someone dies, resigns, whatever, that new person is just filled for the unexpired term. A new two-year term doesn't start with them. So in several, as I went through, was looking at this, I looked at a bunch of cities' ordinances, and in several ordinances, they have a situation where each council member gets to appoint a board of adjustment person. And my fear would be that that makes that council member the appointing authority. I mean, hopefully it never comes up you have to remove one of these people, but I don't think that that person who appointed them would want to be, you know, the only person who had to choose whether or not to remove them. And one city, they had something where each person appointed when they had a 9-member board of adjustment, but that if the person had to be removed, it was before the entire city council, and the person who appointed them had to vote in favor of the removal, or it had to be a 3/4 vote. And so I think if you did that and you said they had to be in favor of removal, you'd cover that. I don't know if the 3/4 vote would cover it or not. And, you know, hopefully it just never comes up. You never have someone you have to remove because that would be an ugly situation. What the Board of Adjustment does, they do appeals of administrative officials' decisions, special exceptions, variances, and other matters under, you know, that are under that kind of that purview of Chapter 211. So you see a lot of times they'll decide things like nonconforming uses. But by and large, the bulk of the, in my experience when I was going to all these different cities, the bulk of the time is in the variance. That's where most of the cases, most of the agenda is spent. But starting out with the appeal, because that does happen sometimes. So if you say someone gets denied a building permit or some kind of permit and they want to appeal that to the Board of Adjustment, the person who can appeal is any aggrieved person or an officer, department, board, or bureau of the municipality. And if it's a specific project or permit, then the person who can appeal, and I presume this is who the aggrieved people are, is the applicant, the owner of the property, a person who owns property within 200 feet of the subject property, or an officer, department, board, same city people. The appeal has to be 20 days from the decision, and it has to state, you have to say why you're appealing, what's wrong with the decision. It doesn't really spell out that a member of the governing body can appeal. It mentioned those different staff people, but it doesn't really say anything about a member of the governing body appeal. The appeal is supposed to stay all actions, unless someone at the city says that doing that is going to cause imminent peril, and you can't just say that, you have to provide facts. The board has to set that hearing in a reasonable time. You have to give the public and parties notice, and you have to decide within 60 days of the meeting. And the next thing is special exceptions. You don't see those as much as you used to a long time ago. When I was at Abilene, we had special exceptions in our zoning ordinance, and they'd actually show up in the use charts in those little columns that say allowed or not allowed, and you'd see occasionally an SE. And so that meant that you could get one if you went and got a special exception. But you still, I found them still in some cities, and they were usually for things like off-street parking or minimum yard requirements, lot areas, or alternative surfaces to concrete paving. So it just doesn't come up that much. Like I said, variance, that's where if you're doing stuff with the Zoning Board of Adjustment, you're going to spend most of your time with variances. I have kind of written this from the perspective that I'm talking to local government attorneys, but I know there could be some land, some people representing landowners in this too. And I'll just say, I didn't write this in here, but I probably should have. If you're representing the landowner before the Board of Adjustment, well, everybody read the statute first if you're going to one, but really pay attention because the things that work before P&Z don't work before the Board of Adjustment. And so if you spend most of your life coming to P&Z asking for zoning changes, and then you're coming to the Board of Adjustment requesting a variance for your client and you start talking about highest and best use and you never mention hardships, you're gonna lose. So just FYI. So the board has authority to authorize a variance. The criteria traditionally include that the applicant has to show that the variance is not contrary to the public interest, that there's some kind of special conditions that cause the literal enforcement of the ordinance to result in unnecessary hardship, and that the spirit of the ordinance is observed and substantial justice done. So up until recently, a financial hardship did not qualify as an unnecessary hardship, and the cases would even say things like a financial hardship doesn't constitute an unnecessary hardship, this was merely a financial hardship, it did not warrant a grant of variances. That Batalis case actually happened just before I came to work at the City of Irvine at some point, and the guy, Batalis, he never really forgot his moment of glory. He would still call up to talk to the city attorney's office while I was there, and no one else would talk to him but me. So let's see. But that changed in the last legislative session. They added a section B-1, so it goes A, B, B-1. That's not like a B-1, part of B. It's a separate section.